Let's just bow in a moment's prayer, please. Our Father, we thank you that the gospel has already went forth tonight in that ministry and song. And that question hangs over our meeting tonight. What will you do with Jesus? And Father, we pray tonight that if there's any gathered in here or watching in online that still doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, that they would choose the Lord Jesus tonight. That this would be the night when their whole life's experience is transformed and that their whole eternity is changed. And Father, we pray tonight that you would blot out any distraction. Give help to both preacher and hearer alike. And may the Spirit of God apply the Word of God to each heart gathered here tonight. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Turn with me, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 13 tonight. Thank you so much to Judith for her ministry and song, and to the pastor for his words of welcome. It's good to be home and to have this opportunity of ministering the Word of God to you. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject so near, but yet so far. So near, but yet so far. John 13, please, commencing to read at verse 18. This is Judas in the upper room with the rest of the apostles and the Lord Jesus. And we break into the text at verse 18. The Lord Jesus is speaking and he says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before I come that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought that because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Ending there at verse 30, and we know God will add his blessing to the reading of his own inspired word. Benedict Arnold is probably one of the most famous names in American history. Born in Connecticut, he was a man who rose throughout the ranks of the army, and he served during the American Revolution against the British. Throughout his military career, he was successful. He climbed to the top of the ranks, and he was really a hero, someone that people looked up to, and he was in the inner circle of power. That was until 1777, when Arnold was overlooked for the only office, really, that he ever coveted, that of Major General. To add insult to injury, he was looked over in favor of one of his juniors, someone that he had mentored and poured his life into. 2 months later, he was given that same position, but it was too late. The damage had been done. He felt that his reputation had been tarnished. And so he was going to do something about it. And so in 1779, he leaked information to the British Army, and he informed the British of an impending invasion into the land of Canada. He was caught red-handed. He fled to England, and his name lives on in American history as one of the greatest traitors to that great nation. John 13 tonight brings before us a traitor that blows Benedict Arnold out of the water. For here we meet a man named Judas, a man whose name has become synonymous with betrayal and treachery and deceit. man who made a pact with the priests of his day, he made a pact with the enemy. In fact, he made a pact with Satan himself to give over the Lord Jesus into their hand. All for what? 30 measly pieces of silver. Just the common price of a slave. What did it profit Judas to hand over the Lord Jesus yet to lose his own soul? I mean, here was a man who was one of the 12, a man who walked with the Lord Jesus, talked with the Lord Jesus. He heard the prince of preachers preach. He even went out and preached in the name of Jesus. But the reality was the whole time that Judas was a fraud. He was never born again of the Spirit of God. Here's a man who kissed the cheek of the Lord Jesus, yet he died and he went to hell. Here's a man who was so near, but a man that was so far, a man who had great privileges, but spurned the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Judas presents one of the tragedies of Scripture. Yet perhaps tonight there's parallels that could be drawn with your life tonight. You might have had many privileges just like Judas. You come to a gospel preaching church. You've maybe been cradled in the gospel from a Christian home from your earliest days of childhood. Perhaps even tonight you have all the outward trappings of Christianity that fools those that you sit beside tonight. But deep down in your heart, you know that you're not right with God. You know that you've never truly repented of your sin. And just like the rich young ruler, you're so near to the kingdom, but yet so far. The scene tonight before us really exposes Judas for who he is. Now remember, we're in the upper room. It's just the 12 and the Lord Jesus. Jesus has performed that lovely act of washing the disciples' feet. And he had taught them not only the practical lessons, but most importantly, the spiritual lessons from that great event. Now in verse 18, Jesus starts to expose Judas. And he says there, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen." I want you to know tonight that this man Judas, he didn't take the Lord Jesus by surprise. He knew that whenever he chose Judas, that Judas would betray him. He knew that Judas would be the one that would turn his back upon him. This was no oversight on the Savior's part. You see, Jesus knows the heart of every man. Jesus knows your heart. Jesus knows the heart of this preacher. And the whole way through the Gospel of John, we see that demonstrated. Back in chapter 2, the Lord saw Nathanael coming towards him and he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael was stunned that he knew all about him. He said, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus told him, "Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." What about the woman at the well, John chapter 4? He knew all about her past. He knew all about her present. He knew her real problem, and it was sin. He knew all about her. He knew all about this man, Judas, whom he had called to be one of the apostles. And let me remind you, sir or madam, God knows all about you. He knows exactly where you stand before him. He knows whether you're one of his sheep. He knows tonight whether you're playing the hypocrite. He knows. He knew Judas. And Judas perhaps makes us wonder why Christ ever chose him. But what we do know tonight is the proof down there in verse 18. And I want you to see the sufficiency here of the Scriptures. Look at the last half of the verse. "I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." In actual fact, Judas was a fulfillment of a prophecy that had been written by David over 1,000 years previous to this event in the upper room. The Scripture that was to be fulfilled was back in Psalm 41. Turn back with me very quickly to Psalm 41. Whenever we come to an Old Testament prophecy, we have to remember that so often there's an immediate fulfillment. But sometimes it points forward to a deeper spiritual, prophetical event. And this is what we see here in Psalm 41, verse 9. Look at it with me. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. The writer of the psalm is David. David was a man who knew all about betrayal. I believe he was speaking here about Ahithophel, David's greatest and closest counselor, who then went and joined sides with his son Absalom in a mutiny, in a coup against David's kingship. David was betrayed by someone within his own inner circle, his own familiar friend. And Ahithophel tried to use his heel against the king and against the kingdom. And that's the actual historical account. But this verse, Jesus says, it's prophetical. And it's directly applicable to this man, Judas. For Judas was a familiar friend for the Lord Jesus. Of course, he was a disciple. He had spent a great deal of time with the Lord Jesus. But it's interesting that when Jesus chose the apostles, he chose 11 from the region of Galilee. In the Old Testament times, that was the region of the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun. But only one apostle came from Judah, and that was Judas. In fact, he came from a town in Judah called Kirioth. His name literally means Judas of Kirioth. And you know tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ belonged to the tribe of Judah. He's known as the Lion of Judah. And whenever they all walked together, 11 of them were from Galilee, and Jesus and Judas were from the tribe of Judah. And so that in a very real sense, Judas is a familiar friend with the Lord Jesus, and he was a trusted apostle. In fact, he had eaten the bread with the disciples. But now in verse 18 of our text, we see that he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Here's Judas, and he's sitting at the table with the Lord. He's eating the bread. He's pretending to be his familiar friend, making out that he is interested in the teachings of Christ. Yet he's a fraud. He has went and made a pact with hell itself, a pact with the priests. And soon he would betray the one whom he sat with and supped with at the table. And Jesus expected it. Jesus knew all about it. And I wonder in that psychological moment in time, as Judas heard that scripture being applied to him, did he not have second thoughts? Did he not realize that Jesus was giving him a chance to come clean? A chance to repent? Did he not reconsider the greatest sin that he was about to commit? Yet he chooses the treachery of his own free will, but yet it fulfills the prophecy to the letter. Isn't that amazing? That before Judas was born, the Bible prophesied of what he would do, that he would go and betray the Lord Jesus. Many years before Christ would go to the cross, the psalmist prophesied of how he would die by crucifixion. Isaiah knew that he would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him, and by his stripes we would be healed. So many prophecies that were fulfilled at Christ's first coming. The sufficiency of the scriptures. But look again tonight, because I want you to see the subtlety of the sinner. You see, Judas was an old hand at play acting. He was a man who put on a good outward show in front of others, and indeed he had deceived so many. The disciples thought that he too was a sincere and devoted disciple of the Lord Jesus. The other 11, they never questioned Judas's love or loyalty to him, even though they had spent so much time with him over those 3 years. Never seemed that they thought that he was a fraud, that he was a phony, that he was a fake. You see, man looked on the outward appearance of Judas and thought that he was one of God's men. Yet God looketh on the heart, and God saw that Judas was a fake. He had already intimated to that fact back in John's Gospel chapter 6 when he said, "Have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." The disciples, they never really took it in. They never expected one who was among them to be an unsaved, an unregenerate man, but Judas played the part so well. He was a subtle sinner. My, you think of the privileges that Judas had. How easy it was for him just to fit in to the background, to really play the game. After all, Judas had the right association, didn't he? I mean, he could never have had greater company. He was among the 12 apostles. He was in the inner circle. He was in that inner circle, even amongst the many disciples. You remember that among the disciples, only 12 were chosen to be apostles, and Judas was chosen to be an apostle. Judas was one. He walked with the disciples. He talked with the disciples. He ate food with the disciples. He had the right association. But then he had the right education. For here's a man who was more educated than the finest scholar coming out of the best Bible college in the world. He sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He was taught by Christ himself. He had seen the Lord Jesus perform those great miracles. He had seen him heal the sick and even raise the dead. He heard the Sermon on the Mount. He heard the parables. He seen the great crowds that Jesus preached to. He sat at the feet of the greatest preacher and was educated by Christ himself. He had great association. He had great education, but he also had the right reputation. I mean, Judas was the money man for the 12. He was the treasurer. And who do you get to be the treasurer? You get someone that you can rely on to handle the finances honestly. You get someone who is competent in such matters. And Judas had a really sterling reputation. He was competent with the money. It's interesting that Jesus says down in verse 21 of our text tonight, that verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. That none of the other disciples ever looked around at Judas with any suspicion. Verse 22 tells us then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. They hadn't a clue that it was Judas. He had such a fair reputation. There was nothing in his life that gave him away as a traitor. In fact, whenever Jesus exposed him for being the traitor, the disciples still didn't get it. They thought that Judas was still one of them. They thought that Jesus had just dismissed Judas to go out and to give something to the poor or to get something for the feast. They were blown away by his reputation. Judas had the right association. He had the right education. He had the right reputation. But he also had the right participation. You see, Jesus had chosen these 12 men for a very special task. To preach, to witness for the Lord Jesus. The word apostle literally means a sent one. Sent to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he never really knew the Christ of the gospel. In all probability, he had probably shared with the others in casting out demons in the name of the Lord. He had probably healed the sick in the name of the Lord, distributed the bread among the 4,000 and the 5,000. So much evangelical activity. Yet here's a man and he's not saved. Judas was active in participation among God's people, but he was a fraud. He looked the part. He sounded the part. He even had the good deeds to his credit. Yet Judas was totally lost. He had never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Reminds me of John Wesley. He was sent out to be a missionary to Georgia, that colony in America. And after 2 years' work there, he said this, I went out to convert the Indians, but who shall convert me? Let me ask you tonight, as you look at Judas Iscariot, can you see a similarity in your own life? You might even have the right association, the right education, the right reputation, even the right participation. But you're not really saved. You come in and out of this church. You've had a Christian upbringing. You look the part. You act the part. But tonight you've never repented of your sin. As the pastor intimated this morning, you're leading a double life. You're one thing on a Sunday morning and something else during the rest of the week. But my dear friend, you'll never deceive God. You might deceive the person that sits beside you. You might even deceive the elders of this church, but yet you'll never deceive God. He knows your heart. Not even with the subtlety of Judas, a man that was so near, but yet so far. Maybe tonight you even serve on a church committee, or you sing in the choir, or you do this or that in the church, in the missionary association, and you've never been born again. Could it be that you even preach from a pulpit, but yet have never received Christ? You remember the words of the Lord? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Judas participated in the work of God, but yet he never came to know the God of the work. He didn't come to know him as a personal Savior. He was so near, but yet so far. The subtlety of the sinner. But come with me to verse 26. I want you to see the sign of the salt. You see, Jesus had already intimated that not all of these men were saved. He brought it out from the scriptures in verse 18 that Judas was the fulfillment of prophecy, but the disciples really didn't get it. But not only did Jesus expose Judas from the scriptures, he exposed him with his speech. Verse 21, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now that was more direct, wasn't it? So we see he was exposing the traitor by the scriptures. He was exposing the traitor by his speech. But now he was going to expose Judas by a sign, and that sign was the sop. Verse 26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop. When I have dipped it, and when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. The sop was just a little morsel of bread, but there's an awful lot of significance and symbolism in the act that Jesus was doing. According to the custom of that time, if you took a piece of bread and you dipped it in the dish and you personally handed it to one of your guests, it meant one of two things. First of all, it could be what you and I would call a toast. If we raise our glass and wish someone good health or something like that, to honor the guest. But not only that, the sop was a way of symbolizing that the host was pledging himself to that guest to be his most loyal friend. Now, isn't that something wonderful? In the midst of this dark and drastic moment in Judas's walk along the pathway towards hell, the Lord is offering him the sop to urge upon Judas his friendship, his love, his forgiveness, his pardon, and the eventual glory that is implied in it. How merciful Christ was being towards that wicked man. Even though he had stooped so low, Christ was still merciful to Judas, a sinner. This wasn't some act of Christ to bribe Judas to go back on what he had already done with the priest. It wasn't to curry favor with him. Wasn't even a sarcastic gesture. What Christ was doing in this psychological moment by offering Judas the sop was Christ pleading with Judas again. It was a genuine last-minute attempt to save Judas from his self-chosen hell. In spite of all that Judas had done, there's mercy with the Lord. If only Judas had cried out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, he would have been saved. If only Judas had have repented in that very moment, he wouldn't be in hell tonight. Why? For the Lord was merciful to Judas. No matter how low he stooped, God is rich in mercy. He's not willing that any should perish. My dear friend, tonight, no matter how far you've stooped into sin tonight, Jesus is willing and waiting to save your soul if only you'd call upon the name of the Lord. He stands at your heart door tonight and knocks. He offers you forgiveness and mercy and peace with God. If only you'd cry out in repentance and faith. You say, preacher, you don't know how far I've gone. You don't know how far I've fallen. You don't know the life that I'm living or the situation that you've gotten into. How could Jesus ever forgive me? I want to tell you tonight that for great sin, there's greater grace. For the vilest of sinners, there's a victorious Savior. And tonight, sin maybe has taken you further than you ever wanted to go. It's cost you far more than you ever wanted to pay. It's kept you longer than you wanted to stay. But here's the good news of the gospel tonight. There's cleansing in the precious blood of Jesus. Your sin can be thrown into the sea of His forgetfulness tonight if only you'll come to Him, for Jesus is merciful and Jesus will save. Jesus offered Judas this sign not only to expose him as the traitor, but really a final act of His mercy, but Judas rejected it. Judas rejected God's final call. Could it be tonight that it's your final call? Could it be tonight that God cuts off your breath this very night? Just like He did with the rich farmer who was preparing for tomorrow. And God called him a fool, for that very night he would die, and he hadn't prepared to die. The prophet Amos reminds us to prepare to meet our God. Judas hadn't prepared to meet God. Down in verse 30, we see Judas went immediately out into the night to betray the precious Savior. The sufficiency of the Scriptures, the subtlety of the sinner, the sign of the sop. But notice very quickly in closing with me the sorrow of the Savior. For look at up at verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, He was troubled in spirit. Of course, our Lord would have been hurt at the betrayal of His familiar friend. Of course, He would have been troubled that Satan was on the rampage against Him. He knew it all, and I'm sure on some level those things troubled Him in spirit. But you know what troubled the Lord the most? That in just a few short moments, one of the apostles that Christ had chosen to follow Him and to minister with Him and to spend 3.5 years with Him, that man was about to go out over the deadline. He would turn his back on his final opportunity to get right with God, and Judas would turn his back on Jesus and go to hell. That was troubling the Lord, for the Lord has a love for sinners. Peter could say that He's not willing that any should perish. And you remember whenever He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was troubled. Jesus was sorrowful because He loved this man. That man that would go out into the night. That man that would go and betray Him with a kiss. That man that would later die a suicide's death because of the treachery that he committed. Jesus loved him. My dear friend, tonight Jesus loves you. You know, dear friend, tonight you can die like Judas unsaved, but you'll not die unloved by Jesus. Why? Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. And how much did Jesus love you? So much that God's only Son came in flesh to that lowly manger in Bethlehem. God became man. He lived that sinless life that you and I could never live. Come with me 33 years later to the Garden of Gethsemane. See the Lord praying to His Father. See Him sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. See Him being betrayed by His own familiar friend. See His back lacerated like a plowed field. See Him being nailed to that old Roman gibbet and the crown of thorns being placed upon His head. See that ruby blood flowing from His hands and His feet and His side. Hear the cry of the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See as they thrust a spear in His side, and out flowed blood and water. See the earth in all of its darkness for those hours, and the weight of my sin and your sin was placed upon the precious Lamb of God. The wrath of God that was my due upon the Lamb was laid. That on Jesus on the cross is God's only begotten Son, dying on that tree, bleeding and suffering for sinners like you and me. That's the price He was willing to pay to redeem your soul. Why? For the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you realize, dear friend, that He loves you tonight? Maybe you're at wit's end corner. The world has turned its back upon you, and you're saying, preacher, tonight, nobody loves me. Jesus loves you. A greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. He loved you so much, He died for you. He rose again for your justification. And tonight He offers you salvation full and free. Tonight you can be redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Judas had that opportunity. He was so near, yet so far. Don't make the mistake of Judas. For can you hear that voice from hell tonight? It's the voice of Judas Iscariot. I was one of the 12. I heard the messages. I saw the miracles. I saw people saved. I was so close to Jesus Christ, but now I'm lost for all of eternity. I was so near, but yet so far. Can you hear the voice of Agrippa tonight echoing from the caverns of hell? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So near, but yet so far. Felix, what about you? I trembled under conviction when Paul preached, but I sent him away for a convenient season. I was so close, but yet so far. Rich young ruler, what about you? I wasn't far from the kingdom. I was near, but yet so far. My dear friend, tonight, don't be so close, but yet so far. Come to Christ tonight. He loves you. He died for your sins so that you might be free. Will you accept Him tonight? Will you remember Judas and beware of Judas tonight? May God bless His word.